When did you last take 5 minutes just to meditate on the obedience, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus, to comfort your own soul? You see, people want comfort, and they want peace, and they want joy in religion. But we've got to labor like that busy bee, going after the truths and meditating, resting, and enjoying these great truths. I think we should take a leaf out of the Quakers meeting.
Today again, we're on a mission for marriage between one man and one woman. You probably know some young man who is seeking a wife, or some young lady who is seeking to find a husband. It is often a great challenge to find that right one to marry. The number of boxes to check can be long. Meeting that someone may not just happen overnight. And sometimes the harder a person drives their search for the right person, the more elusive it becomes. But did you ever hear someone say there is a great shortage of men or a lack of women out there to marry? Well, it might seem that way for some who are a bit isolated in life, but it really isn't true. Some families are blessed with nearly all girls, while others are blessed with more boys. Out of 5 children, my wife and I have 4 boys and 1 girl. An elder in our Cloverdale church is one of 6 boys. So, if we only look at individual families, we might be skewed in the balance of things and worry that there are too many boys or too many girls being born into the world. Marvelously, there is a perfect balance between the birth of males and females. Did you know that in Canada, between the ages of 25 and 44, there are 5.81 million males and 5.56 million females? Then let's talk about the balance of male and female in the whole world. Statistics Time states that there are 4.10 billion males in the world, while there are 4.058 billion females in the world. That is a balance of 50.28% males versus 49.72% females. And this balance keeps happening throughout the generations. It has to happen. Each generation, in order to give stability to population growth. How does this happen? Could that be possible under evolutionary principles? Is this random change or the average of probability at work? No, this can't be. We see in this amazing balance of men and women in the world that God is at work. He is governing this world and fulfilling his purpose for the marriage of one man with one woman. Anything that departs from monogamous marriage causes chaos. In God's world, under his government, there is no room for polygamy, where a man has more than one wife. Polygamy is not a Bible doctrine. It is not the will of God. I know that in the Old Testament some men took more than one wife, as did Abraham, David, and Solomon, but never without serious consequences and great grief. Due to the hardness of men's hearts, God tolerated such things and turned the evil into good at times. Theologian Dr. Shedd says of polygamous marriages, "These were tolerated among the chosen people because of the hardness of their hearts." That is, because the existing condition and circumstances of the people made their immediate abolition impossible. Toleration is not approval, but the very contrary. It implies that the thing endured is intrinsically wrong. The Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians 5:31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." God has not only stated in his word that marriage is between one man and one woman, but in every generation he reaffirms this basic principle of marriage by balancing out the population so perfectly that there are equal numbers of men and women, so that each man may have his own wife and each woman may have her own husband. He has done so for 6,000 years since creation, and he will continue to do so until the end of the world. This is another reason to bless God for providing you with the husband or the wife God created just for you. Think of it. You can go to your spouse and say, "You were made by God just for me." Thank God for the principle of marriage and the provision, equal numbers of men and women, to continue the law of marriage between one man and one woman.
Savior of the day long, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission of his address, I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, praising my Savior. All the day long, this is my song, all the day long, this is my song.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. We're moving on to our message, the bread of life. The Lord Jesus is that bread of which any man eat, he'll never hunger, and there is food abundant. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today.
Back in John 6, and we learn here that after the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of multiplying those loaves and fishes, that crowds followed the Lord. At first they wanted to make him king, in an earthly manner, and he avoided that, and even to the other side of Galilee, over to Capernaum, they were following after him. What an exciting time it must have been when multitudes that had witnessed already his miracles were now seemingly more and more interested in the Lord, that they would give up anything else they were doing and follow him even at a distance. I wonder, shall we ever see the like of it in Canada? Will we ever see crowds and multitudes interested in the Lord Jesus? Do you think it's possible? Will we ever see it in our lifetime? A time when there are more people than seats in the church? A time when there's more interest in the Son of God than there is in material things? But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because we're going to learn that these crowds were more interested in more food, more loaves and fish, than they were in the Savior. Now, before we get off track here and start thinking about these things happening in our day in Canada, I want us to ponder something that is closer to home. I want us to think and meditate upon finding satisfaction in our Lord Jesus. He made a number of claims, and the greatest, I think, is, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Now, I hope that you've come to church today because you have a spiritual hunger. I mentioned about normal physical bread. We've had some of that already today, most of us. Now it's time for the spiritual food. And so while you are perfectly fine as far as physical food goes and clothing and material things, we need God's house and we need the Bible and we need worship because there's a hunger in our souls. That hunger is a powerful and it is a wonderful thing. Are you hungry today for the bread of life? I think there's a whole lot of malnourished, miserable Christians around, and they're living more a hollow life than they are a hallowed life. They're empty, famished. I want to meditate then on the Christian's true satisfaction in Christ. Last week we looked at our Lord as our sympathizer. Today, as our satisfier. Are you satisfied with your Lord Jesus? Do you draw daily satisfaction from Him, just as you feed the hunger of your stomach by physical bread? Do you feed the hunger of your soul by coming to the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life? It was Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till it rests in thee." That's how God has created us. That's how God has made us. And of course, if we're born again, there is a spiritual hunger. There is now a longing and a desire for more and more of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Now you might say, this is mysterious stuff. But then life is a mystery. Birth is a mystery. Personality is a mystery. Human experience is a mystery. Satan is a mystery. And here's another mystery we'll add to it. The spiritual hunger that you have in your soul. And of course, how the Lord Jesus is the bread that has been sent down from heaven. And my prayer is that you will be led today into greater satisfaction, a real personal satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. Will you follow along on this? Just give your mind and heart to meditate on the Lord here today. I notice, and I'm taking today verse 27 as the text. So let's read the text together. Our Lord Jesus said here, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." I notice here a word of correction. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. It's a word of rebuke about overexcitement about material things, the things of the flesh. These disciples and the multitudes of people were overly impressed with those 12 baskets, the food that was remaining over, the physical food. They were willing to cross or get around Galilee and come to Capernaum for more. And the Lord rebuked them. And he said, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." We need to be rebuked as well, even as Christians, over our overexcitement about satisfying the physical cravings of the flesh. And that's a tendency we have. We're in the flesh. And yes, we like to be pampered. We like the good things of this world. And there are many that get so excited about them, and indeed overexcited about them, that they neglect the thing that's important. I noted last week in news clips after the World Cup was all over, and I didn't watch it on the Lord's Day, and I noticed this later, the frenzy, the absolute frenzy. There were masses of people in the streets shouting, screaming, sweating, craziness reigning, and it's all over. And the Lord said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. There are people that get so excited about things that are temporary. And the reality is we're all guilty. Not of the same things, not to the same extent, but we're guilty of getting our priorities wrong. There are those who use alcohol and drugs as stimuli to get excitement in their lives. They turn to those things. Others to material riches, various pleasures, and they run after them with great excitement. And the Lord says, He rebukes us, labor not for the meat that perisheth. But there's a double rebuke here. There's two rebukes in one here. And I must say that I missed this. I missed it until I did a little more homework, and then it dawned on me. It came to light. Not only did the Lord rebuke them for laboring with overexcitement about material things that perish, but if you look at the construction of the text, it says, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. We are to get excited about the real food. We are to be stirred up about the things that concern our souls. And there lies the problem. We get our priorities wrong. We get excited about the temporal, the things that perish, and we're dull and lazy about the things that are really important, the spiritual and the eternal. And we are to labor. We're to labor, it says. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. And we're to expend our strength and our effort, feeding our souls and attending to the spiritual needs of our lives. And because we're so inclined to the physical, feeding the body, putting food on the table, feeding a family, paying our bills, doing those things that are temporary, we get caught up in them, that we're guilty of getting our priorities all wrong. And I need that word of rebuke. We all need this word of rebuke. We need to be corrected and get this straightened out. And you know and I know there are people and they wear themselves out over material things. They just wear themselves out. They fret and they worry and they go without sleep. They injure their health because of overexcitement, overattention about the meat that perisheth. And then many wouldn't cross the road to come to a gospel church to feed their soul. That's the tragedy. That's the issue. And of course, the excuses are so many. Well, church is too early for me. It's too early. It's too far. It takes too long. And I may not find the seat that I like. Someone else might take it. And they'll say, well, I've been there before and I've heard it all before. You see, priorities are wrong. And while the same people will cross the oceans about material things, they wouldn't cross the road to see to their soul. Now, I think we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, you've hit the nail on the head. It's true, and I'm guilty. I feel to get my priorities right. And I accept, Lord, the rebuke that all I'm really, really interested in is the material. Well, I ought to be seeking that bread which is from heaven, the bread that satisfies the soul. Now, will you just, in honesty before God, take the word of correction and say, Lord, will you help me just to put this right, my attitudes, my priorities, and I need to labor to feed my soul that I might be satisfied in Christ. You see, there are so many professing Christians who are not satisfied. That's what this addresses. There are many people who take the name of Jesus upon their lips and they're not satisfied. They're still running after the world. and they're not attending to spiritual things. Now that brings us to the Lord's word of satisfaction. If you move on in verse 27, you'll notice he says that, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now that food, the word meat here is food, by the way. It's not animal flesh, it's food of any kind. And there is this food which endureth unto everlasting life. Now this, of course, was the Lord's life on earth, who came from heaven as the bread of heaven for our souls. And I have to ask myself, am I satisfied with my Savior? Am I really satisfied? I'm a professing Christian. I tell others that I have made my only hope for heaven to be the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. I believe in certain doctrines of Him, but the question is, am I satisfied with my Lord Jesus? And I can only answer for myself here today and say, yes, I am. I am satisfied with my Lord Jesus. And I'm satisfied that He came from heaven. If you look at verse 33, he says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I know that my Lord is divine. He is not of this world. He was not a sinful man. He was not the son of Adam. He came from above. You'll see in verse 27 at the end, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Now, a seal in biblical times was sometimes the king's ring dipped in the wax, and the wax stamped onto a document or an envelope that could not be opened until the proper recipient opened it, and it was therefore marked as from the king. Our Lord Jesus has been sealed by the Father. He's authentic. He came from the Father. Divinity has been stamped upon His whole life. His words were divine. His works were miraculous. His resurrection was miraculous. Everything about the Lord Jesus tells us that He is not of this world. He came from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I take great delight that my Lord Jesus is bread from heaven. Now, in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves. You see, many use religion and Christianity for their material ends, and they never enjoy a morsel of real gospel satisfaction in their souls. They're always busy with the material, the physical bread. And I have to search my heart. Am I only interested in the material, or am I truly, really resting in the greatness of my Lord? Am I satisfied with Him? I can truly say, I can honestly say, I am satisfied. I know my Lord Jesus came from heaven for me. But you know, we have to meditate on this to get the sweetness of the blessing. We need to find satisfaction in the great person and the truths of our Lord Jesus. Now, I was out in the garden yesterday and I was doing some watering. And while I was watering, there was this huge bumblebee came along. And God sent that bumblebee to teach me a lesson, to show me something that I needed to learn. And I watered and I watched that bumblebee at work. And he went from flower to flower. Now, I sowed this packet of wild flower seeds earlier in the season. And you talk about wild flowers. They're wild. They're all colors, shapes, and sizes. Mixed flower seed. And there's this particular blue flower that this bumblebee was interested in. And he went from each flower petal, and he with his long nose dipped in. And you could see him working systematically, one after the other, sucking out the nectar for whatever purposes he had in mind, to sustain itself or another, whatever. But it was busy. Talk about a busy bee. Now, you ask that bee, are you satisfied? I tell you, that bee was finding satisfaction. And we as Christians, who make great profession of who our Lord Jesus is, we need to learn how to meditate. We need to be busy bees in the truths and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You remember how Paul prayed that prayer that we dwelt on earlier at the beginning. He talked about that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Paul prayed for that. He yearned for that in the hearts of God's people. And here is how it happens. You see, we have this great store of the grace of our Lord Jesus, but we need to labor for the meat that endureth to everlasting life. We need to be busy bee Christians. We need to be drawing in, enjoying the reality of the Lord whom we love and serve.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and our final text as we let the Bible speak today is on Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, Luke 11:28. This is instead of healing Mary as a special divine person or having special attributes, the Lord Jesus said, she's blessed, yes, but blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. May we appreciate the emphasis which the Lord has put upon His Word, the Bible, and our obedience to that. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and you are listening to Let the Bible Speak. I hope you've been blessed today through the ministry of God's Word. I'd also be delighted to talk with you. My personal phone number is 604-897-2040. Please call to let me know that you're listening, and we can open the Bible and pray together. For all the information about our radio ministry in Canada and our churches in Buffalo, Scarborough, Port Hope, and Barrie, please go to ltbs.ca. If you have been blessed today, please kindly consider helping us to cover the cost of airtime. Your gift, large or small, will make the difference. You can donate online at ltbs.ca or by mail. Our mailing address is LTBS 18790, 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. My phone number again is 604-897-2040. And remember to join us again at this time next week on this station as we let the Bible speak.